crazy porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more. At 419-PT-LOVE-4. Pork therapy. Scatly-dee-bop, shabadooey. You'll revel in hilarity. It's pork therapy.
Hello.
Hello. I let you start that one.
Yes, you did.
Welcome to Pork Therapy.
Yes, welcome to Pork Therapy. I am Stephanie.
I'm Mike.
And we do a show, right?
Usually.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes. I guess not usually when you consider the portion of our life that we do the show.
That's pretty, right,
it's
yeah.
It's pretty most... infrequently that we do a show.
Most of the time we're doing other things. Although we do have a more rigorous publishing schedule, I guess, than
yes.
some of the other podcasts that I listen to anyway.
Yeah.
Most of them are, you know, once a week, and we go for quantity over quality. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, I think our show quality has gotten a lot better over the last more than year and a half.
I almost want to listen to our first 5 or 10 episodes just to compare.
Oh, no.
Which
no
you
way.
Can do on our website if you'd like, porktherapy.com. So yeah, who are we?
We are Pork Therapy, and we do a show about voluntary relationships. We talk about all kinds of relationship questions from a liberty-oriented perspective.
Any relationship with you and anyone you can imagine.
Yes, anyone.
Or, for that matter, not you. If you, you know of a relationship conflict or what question that you have outside of your own, we'll talk about it.
Sure, absolutely. So, yeah, we're talking business, work relationships, friends, family, love, anything in between. And we, of course, talk about it from the perspective of people who are voluntarists, right?
Yeah, they don't aggress.
Do not believe in the use of force to solve social problems, especially government force.
Well, really any force, and government is force.
Yes. Okay. That's a much more succinct and eloquent way of putting it, Mike. Thank you. So, we have a bunch of things to get to tonight. Most of them are just listener feedbacks, mm-hmm. right? And one of them is kind of a letter that we had solicited in one of our most recent episodes about circumcision. We had done a show about circumcision and why we think it's a terrible, barbaric practice. And we had asked for feedback from people who have actually, from boys who grew up into men, who have talked to their parents as adults about being circumcised or not being circumcised. And we got some very interesting feedback on that.
Right.
Yes.
So, the first one we're going to start with is not feedback. It is actually a question, but it's very short, and the answer will probably be very short.
Sure.
I will read it.
Okay, go ahead.
I would like to choose to withdraw from civilization, but I don't know where I can live, how I'm going to find food, or who I'm going to associate with. Can you help me? And the answer is no. Next.
Well, you're kind of not kidding, Mike, because we can't really help this person. I mean,
you know what? As a matter of fact, we talked about the essay called iPencil on the last episode.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it was about the fact that not a single person on Earth knows how to make a pencil, mm-hmm. yet millions of people are involved in making a pencil.
Right.
And there's a point to that story. But because, you know, that goes along to this question, because if you do not want to associate with another person, you have to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to know how to find food or make food and make shelter and anything else you want. You want a TV? You better make a signal and send it across your living room to a device that you've invented that receives a signal and mm-hmm. whatever. It's certainly possible to mm-hmm. live extremely rudimentarily mm-hmm. and be able to provide for yourself, right?
And yes, but it's going to lower your standard of living.
Oh, incredibly.
Because you have to do everything yourself.
Yes.
Or you have to associate with people in order to barter for things or get things that you can't produce by yourself. And in the question, this person said that they don't want to associate with anyone. So if you're going to subsist completely on your own, your standard of living will go down, I think. Is that a fair thing to say, Mike?
Oh, yeah. We'll need to go down.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, actually, you know, we live in New Hampshire, and both of us moved here as participants in the Free State Project. And, you know, we know a lot of people who do this kind of off-the-grid living. Some people are interested in being completely independent and self-sufficient. And I have mixed feelings about that because I'm all for self-sufficiency, and it's really cool to be able to provide for yourself and get your own food and to know how to have those basic skills in order to get food and shelter and electricity and clothing and whatever.
Or for that matter, to be able to get electricity perhaps cheaper, although I don't think it is right. cheaper. Or to get the food that you want, you know, grown the way you want, et cetera, and not the way it's being sold.
Yeah, that's a great point. Absolutely. Because I think that is the reason why a lot right. of people do this stuff. They're like, oh, I don't want crappy meat that's fed antibiotics right, and, right. you know, is then treated horribly unethically. Yep. And
if you grow the meat yourself and butcher it and cut it up and cook it, then you can have it any way you want it.
Mm-hmm. And you control everything that happens yeah. to it before it gets to your plate.
Yeah.
So people do this kind of stuff, but it seems to me like people have very different skills and talents, and in order to enrich ourselves the most, in order to get more of the things that we want in life, be they whatever, technology, healthy food, a place to live, relationships that are fulfilling, sense of meaning in life, all the stuff that everybody wants, I think, we've got to use our skills and talents in the ways that we're best at, right? That's the whole concept of division of labor. You yeah, do the thing that you're best at, and you maybe earn money or you earn things to trade, and everybody else does the other things that they're best at, and then everybody has more through because they enrich themselves through trading with others, mm-hmm. right? But if everybody tries to make their own shirts and make their own
yeah,
food
I might,
and everything...
I might be able to make a foot protection if I was a survivalist in a living alone.
Mm-hmm.
But someone who actually knows how to make a good, comfortable shoe might give me a footwear that would make me able to hunt better.
Yeah.
And I can't do that myself.
Yeah. And, I mean, or for that matter, I mean, you could buy a shoe from, let's say, Doc Martens or
right.
some other company that's been in the shoe right. business for 100 years and knows all about the best materials and
yep.
how to make a shoe for a reasonable price and how to make a good quality one that will last and protect your feet.
Right.
And you just don't, you simply just don't have that knowledge to right. be able to make those shoes as well as they can. But maybe you're an awesome podcaster, so you should spend your time podcasting instead of making shoes.
And this is why money spontaneously invented, because you can't barter very effectively.
Right.
You know, only so many people will want so many of your shoes to trade for their services.
Right.
But if you have a middle media, mm-hmm. like money, mm-hmm. you can trade your shoes for money, and everybody wants money because they trade their services for money.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I think that the whole concept of, like, off-the-grid living and sustainability is cool, don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
And it's a good way to get things that aren't otherwise available, like, for instance, cheap, low-cost electricity or
Although,
organic meat and that kind of stuff. However, I think it kind of goes against the whole division of labor thing, and I'm not sure if I would want to be spending all of my time obtaining things that are just very basic needs. I think maybe I would probably want to do other things, like use my mind
yes.
to make money and
right.
buy things with it.
Yeah, basically, if you associate with no one, you're going to be working basically sun up to sundown and maybe even in through the night just to sustain an incredibly low level of
mm-hmm.
low standard of living.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas if you're able to trade, you're going to work a lot less and have a lot more or live a lot more comfortably.
Yeah, yeah.
However, maybe he wants to really withdraw from civilization
mm-hmm.
and doesn't know where he can live or how he's going to find food or who he's going to associate with. So let me address those three really quickly.
Sure.
If you're going to withdraw from civilization, you're not going to associate with anyone. That's the definition of withdrawing from civilization.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know where you can live or how you're going to find food, you're going to die. So you...
It's not funny, but I mean, it was just funny how you said it so matter-of-factly. If you don't have food, you're going to die.
Yeah, I mean, if you do not want to associate with anyone and don't know how to find food or where you can live, shelter, you're going to die very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Within a week, maybe?
No. People can go a long time without food. It's water that they...
But no shelter either?
Oh.
I guess it's not winter anymore, but...
Yeah, well, it depends on where this person
yeah,
is.
That's true.
Yeah.
But anyway... There are podcasts, there are books that talk about
survivalism
and pretty much explain how you can live alone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to explain how to live alone at that standard of living that where you can't trade. You can't
right.
You can't do anything.
It's a subsistence yes. existence. Yeah.
And if you want that, good luck to you.
Well, and gosh, it is brutal work. I mean, we're not just saying this. I mean, we actually do know people who kind of have this subsistence type lifestyle mm-hmm. and do it voluntarily mm-hmm. because they want to live off the land or live off the grid or all that kind of thing.
Right.
And gosh, they just work so hard. And it's working hard to get the most basic things. You know, it's working really hard just to get the very, very basic needs met.
Right.
And that's not my preference for a lifestyle.
Right. Think if you built a house or a house-like structure on your own. I mean, without buying an axe from someone.
Yeah.
You'd have to bang rocks together till you get them sharp enough to chisel another rock into some kind of axe-like
yeah.
shape. And then chop down trees with it, and then shape those trees into some kind of fashion that they'll,
oh.
you know, form a, you know, a wall when stacked without leaking cold air in.
Yeah.
And this will take months and months of work.
Yeah.
Or you can go buy some lumber and do it in a day.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
So.
And other people helped make that.
Right.
I mean, it's just, yeah, that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. But I think there's something kind of deeper in this question, and I want to ask the question asker, why? Why yeah. do you want to why do you want to withdraw from civilization?
What because needs aren't being met?
Well, yeah, and it sounds like maybe his needs for connection are not being met.
Oh, because I don't know.
Would you want to... I've had this experience often when, before I moved to New Hampshire and before I was around a lot of liberty-minded people all the time, my needs for connection were seriously unmet. And my needs for, I guess, understanding or to be listened to and heard and understood were definitely not there. Because there was just no one that got it, and I was surrounded by statism.
Mm-hmm.
I was surrounded by people who wanted to use various flavors of authoritarianism to control my behavior,
mm-hmm.
and that wasn't meeting my need for autonomy either, or choices. And once I moved to New Hampshire, a lot of that changed. I mean, it's not a utopia, it's not paradise yet, but it's a lot better, and part of the thing that makes it better is that there's a community here of people who understand and feel the same way. It's better for me. It's way better than living in Massachusetts and feeling completely...
Or California.
Completely alone. Yeah. And...
Or probably most places if you have a liberty... Mm-hmm. A knowledge of liberty.
Right. And so I would just kind of wonder why this person wants to withdraw from civilization.
Yeah.
Is it because you feel alone? And so you say, well, I might as well just go away from all these people who want to control me. And
I'm guessing it's because he's sickened by the way people live and think, mm-hmm. but he's collectivizing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, obviously a huge portion of the world's population is statist,
yeah.
but not everyone.
Sure.
So I think he's probably, my guess is he's collectivizing. So please write or call in 419-PT-LOVE-4 and let us know why you want to withdraw from civilization.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'd be interested in knowing. And just a tip, if you are interested in getting a taste of New Hampshire, I guess, meeting other freedom-oriented people, you can go to porcfest.com. We share a pork, right? We're pork therapy and they're pork fest.
We share a pork.
And that's the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's an event this summer from June 20th through June 26th. I am volunteering to do promotion for Pork Fest, and so I'm going to talk about it on my own show. And it's basically a gathering of liberty-loving people here in New Hampshire. You can meet people, you can kind of check it out, see what it's all about. I highly recommend it. And I guess that's all I want to say about that. We are interested in knowing why this person wants to withdraw from civilization, and maybe we can help you, but we can't tell you which berries are not poisonous, and we can't tell you which fiddlehead ferns to eat.
You might also be interested in a movie called Into the Wild, which is based off of the journal of a guy who did do what you're talking about.
Oh, really?
Until he died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's actually quite an interesting movie.
Wow.
So
that's interesting.
Our next topic, I guess, is some listener feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to read it? Me?
I think we should... Well, okay, I'll read this one. Because the reason is because you read the first one,
uh-huh.
so it's like alternating.
All right.
But you can also read the third one, because the third one is from a man's perspective.
Oh,
it's about
so
circumcision.
I can give it a deep voice.
Yes, exactly. You can be a
Let's
man.
Let's hear your man's voice.
No. That's cute.
Okay.
It's a little gender role, gender bending pork therapy podcast. Anyway, so our second piece of listener feedback is from our Facebook page, and you can find us on Facebook. Just search for PORC Therapy, right?
Yes, but actually, she also posted this on our blog, on our website. So you can
oh.
see it on Facebook or our website.
Oh, I see. Okay, cool. It says, "Hey, Mike and Stephanie, I haven't listened to this episode yet, and that's episode 132, Why People Cheat. But seeing the topic, I just had to comment and recommend a book, which for me was one of those epiphanies that changed my views on a lot of things. Sex at Dawn, the Origins of Human Sexuality by Christopher Ryan and... Oh boy.
Maybe Casilda Jetha, maybe?
Casilda Jetha? That's the author's name, I guess?
I guess.
Was fascinating and, in my opinion, offered the best fitting theories as to why we cheat. We are not biologically programmed for monogamy. Why women are multi-orgasmic and louder in bed, purposes of sex in a society, and even the advent of paternalism and so-called subjugation of women, which was based on agriculture, so this book says, apparently.
Hmm.
And then she goes on to say, one of the most interesting topics was the theory of partible paternity, which most people apparently believed in prehistory, and some still do, that a baby is actually a mixture of many men's sperm.
Yeah, and some people also believe the earth is flat or hollow.
Yeah, I don't believe that. There can only be one, right, Mike? One little swimmer. And she goes on.
Actually, there can be two, but from the same guy. Can't you have a...
you can have fraternal twins.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, go on.
I guess theoretically that could be from two different men if...
If two ejaculated at the same time? Or very, very shortly
thereafter? And the woman had two eggs and then they became fraternal twins. Sure, they could have two different fathers, but...
But
they
wouldn't that'd be two different...
They wouldn't be twins.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess not. You're right.
Yeah.
They'd just be two babies.
Well... No, they would still be twins, because twins come from the same uterus. Never mind.
Anyway.
Oh, God. They wouldn't be from the same father, but they would still be twins. And then she goes on, indeed, women would have sex with men with different desirable characteristics in order to ensure that the child got them. So they were thinking that it was a mixture of all these men. And then she goes, this also ensured that most men in the group had a direct stake in every child, which is interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting, and it sounds believable to me that in far-off history, that's made sense. Mm-hmm. You know, in history of humanity, it made sense that, as an animal, humans, many males had sex with the same woman because, for those reasons. Because they thought, oh, this guy's strong, but this guy's fast, so if I have sex with both when I make a baby, it'll be strong and fast. And in our little clan, mm-hmm. then both men will help support the baby instead of just one. Or all three men or whatever.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense that that was a line of thought.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Kind of. Although there's some... I mean, I've heard the author of this book interviewed, and I've heard a lot about this book. And it's interesting and controversial. I was talking to this book about somebody... And their comment was, well, that all may be true, and it may be true that human beings are biologically programmed to be non-monogamous, and that it's all this, it's group sex was like the norm in prehistory, but that's descriptive ethics, that's not proscriptive ethics, that's describing what was or what is, instead of what ought to be. And I think this person's thought was that that ought not to be a good idea.
Well, I don't even know if that's the case. It might have been describing what was proscriptive ethics, and that has changed. Maybe.
I suppose. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is interesting. It's an interesting thing to think of.
Right.
And I always like to see books out there that are kind of challenging the conventional wisdom, I guess, about monogamy. That
or anything.
Because, obviously, that's not... really true, right? Like, there are a lot of people who say, oh, human beings should be monogamous. It's the natural order. It's the way things are.
I think...
I'm not sure if I believe that, because...
I've heard the arguments for...
Cheating is so common and... monogamous. I mean, this whole episode was about cheating, and it's just so incredibly common, and yes, people have problems in their relationships. People have pathological ideas about relationships, and I'm sure that causes and leads to a lot of cheating, but I don't think that human beings are necessarily oriented toward monogamy, or even if they're not, then I don't think that's, it just
relevant.
Is. Yeah.
Right.
It's just a fact or not. And
Oh, I don't know. What if you change monogamy or polygamy or polyamory to, omnivorous versus carnivorous or herbivorous yeah. What's the word?
Herbivorous. Yeah.
That would be just factual, but that would that change anything? I mean, are humans carnivorous or omnivorous?
I would say they're omnivorous.
Right, but there are some, probably a large portion, who eat only vegetables.
Mm-hmm. And there's some who eat a lot more meat than others.
Right. So are the ones that eat only vegetables still omnivorous because they're human? I mean, it might just be a label.
Does it even matter?
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Okay.
Yeah. I've heard it's an interesting book. I haven't read it yet, but it's something I might be interested in reading if somebody's... Right. If I can easily stumble across an audio... No, I don't like Cliff Notes,
but kidding.
If I could easily stumble across an audiobook of this, I would definitely read it. So, listeners, if anyone really wants to get this book into my hands, send me an audiobook.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, you can email me, Stephanie, at porktherapy.com.
Giving that personal one out.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh. I have a feeling I won't get a deluge of email. So I think I'll be safe. But yeah, anyway, so that was an interesting comment. So finally, we did have a...
Actually, I want to comment one last thing about this particular piece of feedback, which was posted to our blog and on Facebook. And it starts with, "Hi, Mike and Stephanie. I haven't listened to this episode yet, but seeing the topic, I had to comment and recommend a book, blah, blah, blah."
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I thought of was Spambot.
Yeah.
And then I realized it's too related. She mentions our names, which, you know, a bot probably couldn't have accurately pulled off the websites.
Sure.
And she's talking about cheating, which is the topic of the show. And so it's probably a person, but it just seemed like spam to me. Like, I haven't listened, but I'm going to talk about a product. Weird.
Yeah, they should be paying us to advertise
the
show. Well, no, I think... I don't know. Sometimes people just get really excited about great books, and I totally understand that. I've done that myself.
Actually, I'd be curious to hear your comments or your opinions after you listen to the episode.
Yeah, I would too. So if somebody send me an audiobook, please.
No, not your, well, yours too, but I meant this listener.
Oh.
This listener said, "I didn't listen, and I'm going to comment." Well, if you listen to the show, then comment, please, because I'm interested what your opinions are.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Your opinions, I just heard.
You're going to hear them a lot more.
Okay, and our last listener feedback was regarding our episode on circumcision, which is 133.
Yes.
And it was, what did we request?
We requested to hear feedback and experiences from adult men who have talked to their parents as adults about being circumcised or not being circumcised and how that conversation went. Because I was curious. I was thinking to myself, you know, I'm a woman, I'm not a man. I don't have the equipment, and I was never circumcised, thankfully. But I think I would talk to my parents about this topic because I think it would be important to thank them for not doing this horrible, barbaric form of mutilation to me.
When you made that request, I didn't even think of talking to my mom about it, but because I really don't talk to her that much, period.
Right.
But maybe I will next time I talk to her. It just occurred to me now. Sorry.
Interesting.
Okay, so the response...
Well, I'd be curious to hear how it goes.
Well, if I do, I will share.
Cool.
Maybe I can get her on the show.
That would be awesome. I'd love to do a show with your mom.
I don't even know if she knows I do a show.
That would be so cool. I think my parents know, but they're like, "What's a podcast?" And I don't think they listen.
No. Well, my mom is a little more tech savvy than that. Okay, last listener feedback about this, which is in response to this, says, "Greetings, Mike and Stephanie. I just finished listening to Pork Therapy episode 133 on circumcision. You were looking for listener feedback from people who have talked to their parents about being circumcised. I'm not actually circumcised, but I've spoken with my mother about it. A few years back, I asked her why she didn't have me circumcised as a child. Her answer was simply, 'I didn't want to hurt you.'
Oh,
and that just sounds so awesome."
Yeah, that's so nice.
Wow. "My response was also simple. I said thank you and gave her a hug, which is also nice."
Yeah, that's very touching.
"I did ask her if it's something that most Greek Orthodox parents do to their children, and she told me it's not mandated by the church. Don't worry, there are plenty of other screwed up crap the Greek Orthodox church tries to cram down your throat."
Yeah.
"Luckily, I'm an..."
Or every other church.
Right, or every religion.
Yeah, yeah.
"Luckily, I'm an out-of-the-closet atheist as of April 19th, which was... a week ago?
Yeah, something
so
like
I,
that.
I
2 weeks ago.
I was just going to say, I want to hear about that. But he goes on to say, "Maybe I'll save that story for a future show."
I know this story.
Oh, well, I'm curious about it, so...
Yeah, maybe we could get him on the show to talk about this, because it was an interesting story.
Cool.
So
he goes on, "Let me add that growing up uncircumcised wasn't always easy, especially when you had to go to a government school. Kids can be real sons of bitches..." I guess that doesn't speak highly of their moms. "And when we..."
I think he's making a reference to She Talk Live when I called him a son of a bitch on the air.
Really?
Oh, okay. It was just making a joke.
Let's see. Kids can be sons of bitches. And when we had swimming in gym class, I used to get ridiculed for having an inside-out penis.
That's crazy. What are they doing?
Wow, kids. Looking at this. Oh, well, the locker room.
I hear those stories about the locker room, but I've never understood it. Like,
I
didn't get naked in front of other girls in the locker room. I mean, sure, no.
I didn't actually have a locker room because I was in marching band instead of football, but, I mean, I did, but I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, the locker room is basically, you know, kind of a room without a fourth wall of showers. So, and you all shower in the same room, you're probably naked. And then it's like...
I never showered with my friends.
And then hallways full of lockers where your clothes are. So you go there in your towel and take your towel off to put on your clothes in a hallway full of people. I mean, mm-hmm. Can you really help but be naked in front of them in gym? Apparently you can, because you did.
I never had the experience of being naked in front of... I mean, well, I guess I like when I was playing... I played sports a little bit. I played volleyball. And when I would change into my uniform, which sounds so stupid. Oh, I hate it. But anyway, so when I would change into my uniform for volleyball, we would change our tops and stuff, but really, like...
You'd leave your underwear on and just put on shorts or
something. Yeah, exactly. And we never, like, looked at each other. We were... I guess we would talk, but like a lot of times.
Let me tell you, if I was in your locker room, I would have been looking at you.
I know, but it's just like why do guys always have these like? They have these
probably
weird,
cultural.
Like, yeah.
I mean, there's probably a he's got a small penis joke. Probably.
I'm sure there is, but they probably have those regardless of whether the person is seen naked or not. Like if a kid,
oh true, they make fun of
kids
even
are going to make
know.
Fun of each
yeah.
other no matter
absolutely.
What.
Absolutely. Maybe that's a question for Brett Vernon.
Oh, well, yeah, he's done many shows on that, actually, about bullying and about kids.
Actually, we've done bullying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, when you're forced to be in an environment for 15,000 hours out of your life, going to day prison every
with
single day.
With people who don't want to be there and are also forced to be there.
Yeah, then mean things are going to happen, like making fun of private parts.
Yeah, a lot of needs aren't being met.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Yeah, okay. And I sounded so enthusiastic about that. I was not that the needs aren't being met, that's tragic, but that Mike said that. So, anyway.
So
he goes
the
on.
The listener says, I used to get ridiculed for having an inside-out penis. I've been a quick-witted jokester all my life, so my response was usually something like, do you always stare at other dudes' dinguses? Okay, I didn't say dinguses, but I totally would have if I grew up with Jamie Crane from Wheels Off Liberty. So that's another podcast you can check out.
Yeah, they're also on the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM, and wow, that was funny. He's the only person I know who says the word dingus.
Does he really say it?
All the time. And he actually talks about this listener's dingus in particular.
Well, the listener continues. As an aside, he and Brett Vernon love my dingus. They talked about it for a solid 5 minutes during episode 82 of Wheels Off Liberty. I'd appreciate the same treatment
minutes.
For us, too.
It was more than 5 minutes.
Well, I'm not going to spend any minutes on his dingus, as it were.
But we've been talking about his dingus for 10 minutes already.
All right, then we've satisfied him.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
He
goes on.
Right.
Final thoughts on circumcision. I think this goes deeper than just religion. My belief is the lizard Jews in the center of the earth invented circumcision while simultaneously inventing sexual lubricant and hand cream. Those things are unnecessary for masturbation when you still have your foreskin. It's awesome. I love you too, so hard and dirty, Mandrake. From Mandrake. So I would like to actually comment, because I'm circumcised.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea that if you had a foreskin, you didn't need lubricant to masturbate or probably then to have sex.
Apparently, yes.
I did not know that until just now.
It's like a... Well, I guess we shouldn't get too graphic, but it's...
Well, we can get technical and clinical.
Sure. Well, okay. So it's like a... It's like something in between the... Never mind.
It's a floating layer that takes away some of the friction.
It's a floating layer, exactly. Okay. So, right. So
it's like a flywheel. No, not at all.
So, yes, so you don't need lube to decrease the friction.
That's interesting.
Because there's a layer of skin. Yeah.
Sure, that's interesting.
Yeah. And I actually wrote an article about circumcision a while ago, and I got so many inappropriate, boundary-crushing emails from men that were just talking about their sex lives when they're circumcised or not. But apparently, from what I hear, people say that there is a lot of sensitivity that gets lost when someone grows up without having a foreskin that's constantly kind of shielding the most sensitive parts.
You mean
of the
sensitivity
penis.
Is lost when you masturbate your whole life without a foreskin? Or sensitivity is lost when you cut off the foreskin?
Well, both. I mean, because not only does the foreskin itself have some sensitivity, but also just walking around all the time and maybe doing sexual things also without something covering, you know, if there's a piece of skin on top of the most sensitive parts of the penis, then they're...
You get desensitized at least.
Exactly. Oh. Right. And so, yeah.
I don't know. I can't relate to someone who's not been circumcised, but...
That's why, like,
I still have plenty of sensitivity.
That's great, Mike. Well, it kind of makes sense.
Sure.
Although it just seems like it's the only person... It's impossible to do a comparison because you can't compare the same person who is circumcised and not, because even if they get circumcised as an adult and they had a foreskin and now it's gone, they didn't have the experience of growing up with or without one.
What if they are circumcised at say 25 and so they have maybe a 10-year sex life and then get circumcised and have maybe 20 years.
If they're lucky, they have a 10-year sex
life. If they're lucky. Yeah.
So then they get circumcised.
And then maybe have 20 years of desensitization.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would be a fairer comparison.
Maybe, but then how could they remember what it was like when they were 15? And
maybe they also were
guy?
Taking a daily journal the whole time.
Oh, yeah, that's real reliable. Their own reports from their journal. Sorry.
A teenager having sex.
Yeah, I'm too much of a, for the first time ever.
Right, right.
I'm too much of a scientist to not be skeptical about that. But yeah, I have heard that, you know, it just seems to me like if it's not broken, don't fix it. And God, it's so wrong to violate someone else's body without their consent, when they can't even consent as a little baby do a surgical procedure that has no health benefits.
If you create a baby and you're the steward or the parent or the caretaker of this baby, why is one of the first things you're going to do to hurt it without its permission?
Yeah.
Why don't you at least wait until they're 10 or adolescent, or, you know, an adult.
At least wait until they're 10 to hurt him.
No, to ask them.
Yeah, to ask them.
Ask them.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
To tell them your belief that this is good for religion or good for health, both are incorrect.
Yeah.
And tell them you think it should be done and it might be painful and ask them if they want it.
Right.
At least. Why is the first thing you do hurt them?
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't understand it. I don't want to think about it. But it's very important to get that message out because I think it's a horrible thing to do to a kid. And maybe by talking about it, we will help some people evolve their views about that as well and save some foreskins.
You want to close the show or have me go on a tangent?
Tangent.
Because you just said it's a horrible thing to do to a kid. And for some reason, I just put that to the music of Mr. Rogers. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing to do to a kid. A horrible thing to do. Don't circumcise. Don't circumcise. Don't cut off your foreskin. I don't know why I did that.
That
just popped into my head when you said that.
That is the best song ever. I love it.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Mike. Okay, I think that's how we should close.
Oh my God. I can't believe you just said that.
I came in.
Oh, that
just popped
was
in there.
So great.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Mike, for that wonderful song. And you know what? Whenever you know someone who's about to circumcise their kid, you should just play them that song, and they'll just change their mind, right?
Sure. Hey, by the way, should we put Mr. Rogers in the show notes, or do you think still everyone knows who he is?
Oh, everybody knows who he is.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I don't know if he has a website either.
Well, he'd be in Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
He's in the Smithsonian.
That's true.
That's true. Thank you for listening to the show, everyone. If you have a question about anything relationship-related, related to relationships.
Yeah.
Send us an email at questions@porktherapy.com.
Yes, and if you want to tell us about your dingus, you can email us.
No pictures.
No pictures, please. Yeah, call us at 419-PT-LOVE-4, right?
Right.
Leave us a voicemail. Or actually, ask us your serious relationship questions. This is serious Stephanie talking now. And play Mike's song for your expectant mothers-to-be talking about circumcision. It's a fast and fun way to get the message out. Right.
It's Mother's Day coming up, right? What better time?
Yeah,
here's
serenade
some flowers,
them.
Mom. Why'd you cut off my penis?
Yeah, really. Okay, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to our show.
Bye.
Bye. They're two crazy porks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork Therapy.
variety. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more at 419.